नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो विल कंटिन्यू आवर डिस्कशन। सो वी वर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ चैप्टर ऑफ सिक्स कैंटो Indra offends his spiritual master Brihaspati. So he has already offended him. He did not get up and Brihaspati leaves that place. Indra is trying his best to find him, but he is not able to find. So he is lamenting. And then they approach. And then in the meantime, what happens is that the demons attack the demigods because they understand that they have lost the mercy of their spiritual master, but they were very intently worshipping or serving their own spiritual master Shukracharya. So immediately when they understand that they have lost their mercy, that the devatas have lost their mercy, they start attacking the demigods. The demigods are not able to really tolerate the power of the demons. So now they are approaching Brahmaji. So this is where we ended our previous discussion. So now we will continue with Brahmaji speaking to the demigods. What is going to be Brahmaji's response after the demigods approach them? That's what we are going to discuss now. Okay, 21st verse onwards, we'll start. Shri Brahma Uvacha Aho Batasura Sreshta Yabadram Vakritam Mahat Brahmishtam Brahmanam Dandantam Aishwaryanabhyanandata. Aho Batasura Sreshta, O best of the Devatas, Vaha Mahat Abadram Kritam, you have committed a great wrong. Na abhyanandata, you did not welcome Brahmishtam Brahmanam, a Brahmana, not an ordinary Brahmana, but a Brahmana who was fixed in Brahman, you did not welcome him. And Dantam, and he was having a controlled mind. And why you did not welcome him? Aishwaryan, because you were proud of your wealth and power. Therefore, you did not respect such an exalted personality like Brihaspati. Okay, is there a purport? Akhilatma Pranto.
Yes, sir. Just a minute. Lord Brahma recognized the Brahmanical qualification of Brihaspati, who was the spiritual master of demigods, because of his awareness of Supreme Brahman. Brihaspati was very much in control of his senses and mind, and therefore he was most qualified Brahman. Lord Brahma chastised the demigod for not properly respecting this Brahmana, who was their guru. Lord Brahma wanted to impress upon the demigods that one's guru should not be disrespected under any circumstances. When Brihaspati entered the assembly of demigods and their king Indra took him for granted, since he came every day, they thought they did not need to show him special respect. As it is said, familiarity breeds contempt. Being very much displeased, Brihaspati immediately left Indra's palace. Thus, all the demigods headed by Indra became offenders at the lotus feet of Brihaspati. And Lord Brahma, being aware of this, condemned their neglect. In a song we sing every day, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chakshudan Dilo Jai, Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. The Guru gives spiritual insight to the disciple, and therefore the Guru should be considered his master life after life. Under no circumstances should the guru be disrespected. But the demigods, being puffed up by their material possessions, were disrespectful to their guru. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27 advises, Acharya mam vijaniya na avamannena karhichit na martya buddhe yasuyeta. The Acharya should always be offered respectful obeisances. One should never envy the Acharya, considering him an ordinary human being. Yes.
Okay. So, any quick comments before we move on to the next verse?
Proji, I had just doubt this.
Yeah.
You said that actually later when Brihaspati left, so demigods almost kind of they were demons were attacking and they were losing. Mm-hmm. So, means I was just thinking, is it that they could not fought only, or they were in a such a situations where they were continuously feeling that we cannot fight because we have offended spiritual master, or is it just on the stage?
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly mentioned. What is mentioned is they could not, they did not have sufficient strength to fight with the demons and defeat them. That much is mentioned. It's not that they didn't fight, but they could not, they could clearly see that they have the power to fight and win over them. That much they could see.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So we'll move ahead to next verse. Tasyayam anayasyasit. Sorry. Tasyayam anayasyasit parebhyo vappara bhavah prakshinebhyasva vairibhyah samriddhanam cha yat suraha. O suraha, O devatas, ayam anayasya, for this evil deed, vah samriddhanam, you who are actually very strong, parabhavah, you have been defeated. Parebhyah prakshinebhyah sva vairibhyah. By parebhyah, by those who are the others, prakshinebhyah, actually, they are not as strong as you. Sva vairibhyah, they are your enemies, but they are not as strong as you. You should have easily defeated them, but because of this mistake, because of this evil deed, you lost your powers and you could not fight with them. Okay, any purport?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah.
Purport. The devas are celebrated for fighting with the asuras perpetually. In such fights, the asuras were always defeated, but this time the demigods were defeated. Why? The reason as stated here was that they had offended their spiritual master. Their impudent disrespect of their spiritual master was the cause of their defeat by the demons. As stated in the Shastras, when one disrespects a respectful superior, one loses his longevity and the result of his pious activities, and in this way one is degraded. Yes.
Yeah. Any quick comments? Actually, it is mentioned in the third canto that as soon as a superior comes, immediately the life air of the subordinate, you know, is just about to leave, or it, you know, it becomes, it comes up a little bit more. But when immediately when the subordinate offers his obeisances back, you know, the life arc goes back again. Which means every time a superior comes, the subordinate can potentially lose some of his ayu or lifespan if he does not properly receive him with respect or offer obeisances to him. Like that. Okay, so we'll move on. Magavan Vishatapasya Prakshinan Guru Atikramat Sampratyupachitan Bhuyaha Kavyam Aradhya Bhaktitaha Adadiran Nilayanam Mamapi Brugudevataha. O Indra, look, the enemies who were weak, Prakshinam Dvishataha, Guru Atikramat, because of your reference to Guru, Samprati Upachitan Bhuyaha, they have now become very strong. Kavyam Aradhya Bhaktitaha, worshipping Shukracharya with devotion, Bhrugu Devata, and being devotees of the Guru, Mama Api Nilayanam Adadiran, they may take away my abode also, Brahmaji is telling. They have become so powerful just by worshipping their Guru, but there is a chance that they may take away my abode also, like that. So, Srila Vishnachakra writes here, disrespect to Guru is a cause of disaster and respect to Guru is a god of good fortune. He says, they respected their Guru and therefore they have got so much good fortune that they may not just take Swarga, that they may take away my Brahmaloka also from me. An example of the demons is given. They have so much strength that they can take away my abode also because they have devotion to Guru. Like that. Okay. Is there a purport?
Yes, Professor.
Yeah.
Lord Brahma wanted to point out to demigods that by the strength of the Guru, one can become most powerful within this world. And by the displeasure of Guru, one can lose everything. This is confirmed by the song of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadad nagati kutopi. By the mercy of spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Although the demons are insignificant in comparison to Lord Brahma, because of the strength of their Guru, they were so powerful that they could even seize Brahmaloka from Lord Brahma. We therefore pray to the spiritual master that by the mercy it's from. So there is one verse, Prabhuji, which I don't know. I'm not able to see here in my soft copy. So it's a Bhavartha Deepika commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. By the mercy of Guru, even a dumb man can become the greatest orator and even a lame man can cross mountains. As advised by Lord Brahma, one should remember this Shastric injunction if one desires success in his life.
Okay.
That is Mukham Karoti Vachalam.
Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim. Yeah. Okay, anything else before we move on?
I don't know if this was discussed, but I missed the last session.
Mm-hmm.
Here we can see that this principle, which is very much highlighted, Guru's mercy and mm-hmm. Guru takes away all the strength.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm referring to some contemporary, in one sense, some deviations in ISKCON which have happened. Mm-hmm. And some people even not only disrespect but blaspheme their Guru also.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the philosophy they have propagated or the so-called mission they might have started seems to be flourishing well. So mm-hmm. at times, how do we understand this? Is it only temporary or how they are not getting the reaction for that, and how are they still able to continue with more strength actually?
See, we don't know all the details, and flourish maybe from a material point of view, and so, and whether they are spiritually progressing or not, we do not know. I mean, we know for sure that if someone is blaspheming Vaishnavas, then in all likelihood, they are not spiritually progressing. So ultimately, their destination, we do not know. So, but the Shastras and the Acharyas cannot be wrong. So, whatever may be happening right in front of our eyes, is not complete reality. So, what exactly will happen after one leaves the body, and what will be their destination, will be according to the to whatever actions that one has committed during that particular life. So, therefore, we cannot, or maybe the organization is growing and nicely on a material way. Maybe because in future, ISKCON maybe has to take over also. You never know. So, Krishna's plans are inconceivable. So, only time will answer.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else before we move ahead? Okay. So, we will continue with the 24th verse. Tripishtapam kim ganayancha bedhya mantra bhrgunam anushikshitartaha na vipragovinda gavishwaranam Bhavatya Badrani Nareshwaranam. Bhrugunam Anushikshita Artaha. Intent on following the instructions of Shukracharya, Abhedya Mantra, and having unbreakable counsel. Tripishtapam Kim Ganayanti. They do not care at all for the Devatas. Na Abhadrani Bhavanti. There are no misfortunes. Nareshwaranam for kings. Vipra Govinda Gavishwaranam, and who respect the Brahmanas, cows and Govinda. So intent on following the instructions of Shukracharya and having unbreakable counsel. They do not care at all for the Devatas. There are no misfortunes for kings who respect Brahmanas, cows and Govinda. So what does he mean? Pacification, offering gifts and punishment are obviously not possible. Sama, Dana and Danda are not possible. And causing dissension among them is also not possible. Why? They have indivisible counsel. Abhedya Mantraha. So, maybe, someone may think, okay, they may not agree for gifts, they may not agree for sweet words, they may not agree for threatening to punish because we are obviously weak right now. So, why not we sow some seeds of doubt in their heart? He says, no, Abhedya Mantraha. They have a counsel which is indivisible. So therefore, Samadana, Beda, Danda. The four types of approaching an enemy, all four will not work. That's exactly what here Brahmaji is indicating. The cause of everything is that they have taken the teachings of Shukracharya as their only goal. So therefore, there is no possibility. So then the Devatas may say, oh, then we will die. Actually, we are fit to die then. There is no choice. So Brahma tells them, but don't worry. Those who are merciful to Brahmanas, cows and Govinda, they have no misfortune. So therefore, you be nice to a Brahmana, who is Vishwarup, that's what he is going to suggest now. And then he can protect you. That's what he is indicating. So he is going to spell it out in the next verse. So, but now he says that yes, you have done a grave mistake. So therefore, Samadana, Beda, Danda, nothing will work for them. But the only good thing for you is that if you respect the Brahmanas, cows and Govinda, then there can be no misfortune for you. I will tell you how you can accomplish that. That's what here he's indicating. Is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah.
From the instruction of Lord Brahma, it is understood that everyone should very faithfully worship the Brahmanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the cows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Go Brahmane Hitaya Cha. He is always very kind to cows and Brahmanas. Therefore, one who worships Govinda must satisfy him by worshipping the Brahmanas and cows. If a government worships the Brahmanas and cows and Krishna, Govinda, it is never defeated anywhere. Otherwise, it must always be defeated and condemned everywhere. At the present moment, all over the world, governments have no respect for Brahmanas, cows and Govinda. And consequently, there are chaotic conditions all over the world. In summary, although the demigods were very powerful in material opulence, the demons defeated them in the battle because the demigods had behaved disrespectfully towards Brahmana, Brihaspati, who was their spiritual master.
Okay. So, any quick comment? Okay. So, I think from next purport onwards, maybe Rohin Nandan Prabhu or Tamal Govind Prabhu can read, because I think Akhilatma Pran Prabhu, I think you are at a place where there is some background noise going on.
Yeah, Prajant,
right?
Above hall.
Huh?
I'm above one hall. It's common actually.
Common, na? Okay, it's no problem. As long as you can hear clearly, that's fine. I think if it's okay, either Tamal Govind Prabhu, Rohin Nandan Prabhu or someone, Priya Gopesh Prabhu, someone can read from next purport onwards.
Yes,
okay?
Yes,
you can read it.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move on to the next verse. Tadvishvarupam bhajatashu vipram tapasvinam tvashtram atatmavatvantam sabajitortan savidasyatevo yadikshamishyadvam utasya karma. Tad, therefore I suggest you, Vishwarupam bhajata ashu, immediately worship Vishwarupa. Who is this Vishwarupa? Tvashtram, he is the son of Tvashta. Atmavantam vipram, he is a prudent brahmana. Tapasvinam, of great austerity, as your guru. Just like Brihaspati, he has also performed great austerity. Saha sabajitaha, and that Vishwarup, being pleased with your worship, vaha artan vidasyate, he will fulfill all your desires. But there is one condition. Yadi kshamishyadvam uta asya karma, provided that you tolerate is being partial to the demons. So this already Brahmaji has mentioned. So it's not that it came as a shock to the devatas, that he was silently offering some oblations to the demons also. Ideally it should not come as a surprise to them. That's why Brahmaji is telling it, informing them before only, but somehow Indra could not tolerate when he saw that silently he was offering oblations to the demons also. So he became very insecure like that. Of course, he was offering oblations because he was offering oblations to his ancestral, from his maternal relatives who were demons. So his mother Rochana came from the side of the demons. Therefore, he was just offering oblations to his ancestors. But Indra became very afraid and insecure like that. So, here Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, therefore, this is the immediate solution. This is not the ultimate solution, this is the immediate solution. Worship Vishwarup as your guru if you can tolerate his being partial to the demons. Okay, is there a purport?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Lord Brahma advised the demigods to accept the son of Tvashta as their spiritual master, although he was always inclined toward the benefit of the Asuras.
That's all?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Okay, so we will move on to the next section. So, conversation between the demigods and Vishwaroop, that's the next section. So, Shri Shuka Uvacha, Taevam Udita Rajan Brahmana Vigata Jvaraha, Rishim Tvashtram Upavrajya Parish. Oh, Rajan, O King, Evam Brahmana Udita, thus advised by the Lord. By Lord Brahma, Vigata Jvaraha. Jvaraha means, you can say, lethargy or anxiety or confusion. So, Vigata Jvaraha, and relieved of their anxiety, te the devatas, Rishim Tvashtram Upavrajya, they went to the son of Tvashta, which is Vishwaroop. Parishvajya Idam Abruvan, they embraced him and then spoke in this way. They have now approached Vishwaroop and they are going to speak now. I don't think there would be a purport. Is there a purport?
No, boy.
Okay. So now the devatas are speaking. Shri Deva Uchuhu Vayam Te Tityah Prapta Ashramam Badramastute Kama Sampadyatam Tata Pitrunam Samayochitah. So the devatas say, O Tata, my dear Vishwaroop, Badramastute, may there be all good fortune unto you. Vayam, we the devatas, te ashramam prapta, we have come to your hermitage, atityah, as your atiti, as your guest. Kamaha sampadyatam, please fulfill our desires. Samayochitah, according to the time. Pitrunam, since we are on the level of your parents. So we are not just your guests, but we are the level of your parents. So you kindly, properly fulfill our desires. It is as our son, it is your duty. And also as the host, it is your duty to fulfill the desires of an uninformed guest, an atiti. Okay, is there a purport?
No.
Okay. Putranam hi paro dharma pitrusushroshanam satam api putravatam brahman kimuta brahmacharinam. So this is a very interesting verse. Brahmana. Putranam hi paro dharma, the highest duty of a son. Putravatam api. Even though he may himself be a father, he may have his own son. But still, Pitra Sushrushanam is to serve his parents. That is the parodharma of a son. Kimuta Brahmachari, what to speak of a brahmachari who is not old enough or who does not have a family of his own. So what reason can he give to not serve his parents like that? So therefore, Pitru Sushrushanam Putranam Iparodharmo, the highest duty of a son, even though he has sons of his own, is to serve his parents. And what to speak of a son who is a brahmachari? Of course, we should understand the context. The word Parodharmo here is used in the context of those who have karma nishta, those who have qualification for karma. For them, the parodharma is, you know, pitru sushrushanam, to serve their parents. Not the devotees don't serve their parents. Devotees also serve their parents, but parodharma is savai pumsam parodharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaitukiya pratihataya yatma suprasidati. So we understand that is our parodharma, but we don't use that parodharma to neglect an opportunity to serve the parents, but we don't consider serving the parents as, you know, the parodharma that is not mentioned in shastras also according to for practicing devotees. But because the demigods were also on the level of karma, and probably Vishwarup was also on that same platform, he says that putranam hi parodharma pitru sushushanam, like that they say. The parodharma of a son is serving the parents, like that. Okay, is there a purport?
No purport.
Okay, next two verses. Acharyo brahmano murtihi pita murti prajapatehe bhrata marutpater murtir mata sakshachiteh tanohu dayaya bhagini murtir dharmasyatitihi svayam agner abhyagato murtihi sarva bhutani chatmanah. He says, Acharyo brahmano murtihi. The Acharya is the personification of all the Vedas. Pita murti prajapatehe. Similarly, a father personifies Lord Brahma. Okay. Bhrata marutpater murtihi. A brother personifies Indra. Mata sakshat shite tanuhu. A mother personifies the planet Earth. And a sister personifies mercy. An unexpected guest personifies religious principles. An invited guest personifies Agni. And all living entities personify Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. Okay. So basically they are telling that, even though you may say that, you know, I am not related to you, but you should understand that all family members are personification of some demigod or other. And those very self-same demigods we have approached you, so you have all the more obligation. Just like a person may have some obligation towards his father, some towards his mother, some towards his sister, some towards his brother, some towards his an uninvited guest. He says, all these are fit to be served by you. And they are all personification of a different demigod. And all of us demigods have approached you. So you have all the more reason to actually serve us and fulfill our desires. That's what they're indicating here. Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says, the Acharya, one who teaches the Vedas, personifies the Vedas. The brother personified Indra. The uninvited guest personified Dharma. Then what to speak of us? All beings personify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in one sense, like, we also fall within the category of all beings. We are personification of Vishnu. So, which means serving us is serving Vishnu. Of course, this sounds like Manav Seva, Madhav Seva, which is like in one sense, yes, but that does not mean serving all living entities is the same as serving Lord Vishnu. The Lord is all pervading, andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. But that does not mean serving all living entities is equivalent to serving Vishnu. So, I mean, they are not suggesting that, but they are just indicating, they are just trying to create a sense of obligation in the heart of Vishwarup, so that he feels that he should serve like that. Is there a purport?
Yeah. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu, one should observe all living entities to be on the same level as oneself. This means that no one should be neglected as inferior. Because Paramatma is seated in everyone's body, everyone should be respected as a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse describes the different ways in which one should respect a guru, a father, a brother, a sister, a guest, and so on.
Okay. Any comments before we move on?
Roshi, I had this question.
Mm-hmm.
actually when they had disrespected Brihaspati, demigods, so later when they approached Brahmaji, so how come then is it not Brahmaji is telling them and try to pacify or something like that?
No, they did try to pacify Brihaspati, but he was angry, so he was not to be found. So he had that siddhi by which he could disappear. So how much ever the devata sincerely tried to find him, they could not find Brihaspati actually.
Achha, there, so, because yeah, here directly is changing the spiritual man. That's why I was just...
Yeah, I mean, see, for these people, they are not exactly spiritual master as such. They are more like, priest.
Mm-hmm.
Who can help them perform some their rituals, their ritualistic sacrifices. So he's not exactly like a spiritual master. And even though for lack of an appropriate word, the word spiritual master is used, but he's not exactly a spiritual master. He's like a, one who would assist them in performing their demigod duties. So, like that. So he's not exactly like a spiritual master who is helping them progress towards the lotus feet of the Lord. He is just assisting them perform their demigod duties. That's all. Like that.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So we'll move on to the next verse. Tasmat pitrunam artanam artim paraparabhavam tapasapanayam stata sandesham kartumarhasi. So he says, O Tata, O my dear son, tasmat sandesham kartumarhasi. You should therefore follow our order. Artanam pitrunam artim tapasa apanayan. Artanam pitrunam, for the distressed parents, from the distressed parents, artim apanayan. You should take away the distress of your parents. Paraparabhavam, who have been painfully defeated. We have been painfully defeated by the demons. Therefore, you should follow our order and remove the distress of us who are like your parents. Like that they are indicating. So therefore, Vishwarup may say, okay, enough of praise and instructions on dharma. Just tell us what do you want. Don't please beat around the bush. So just come to the point directly, what do you want? So they say, we have been painfully defeated, so please help us. You can help us. Like that. Is there a purport?
No purport.
No purport. Okay.
Prabhuji?
Yeah.
This showing a courtesy and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like some words of flattery also. Mm-hmm. In order to get one's things done.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it may be genuine that a person is concerned about others and he wants to tell others about what they should be doing. Mm. But here the demigods solely want their purpose to be done.
Correct.
Right. Sometimes in our life also we want something to something from someone. Mm. And then we may as a formality ask him about how is everything going on and how is... So, like now here he is saying, as Vishwarup is saying in the mind, enough of your praise and instructions. Now just tell me what do you want. Mm. So should we straight away speak to people, or is it a means courtesy, like to speak first some words of kind?
There is a difference between courtesy and diplomacy.
Mm.
So courtesy is very important. Diplomacy, when people sense it, then it will turn them off. We will lose trust. They will lose trust. So So we should, as far as possible, not try to be diplomatic, but courtesy we need to follow. So अरे यार, you know, he may think that इतना दिन के बाद मिल रहा है, मैं कैसा हूँ वो भी पूछा नहीं, suddenly उसको जो चाहिए उसके बारे में बोल रहा है. See, that is when you lack courtesy. But then when there is diplomacy, then he will feel, अरे इतना मुझे अभी उन्होंने मस्का मारा, अभी समझ में आया, मुझे पहले ही पता था कुछ तो पूछने वाला था.
अच्छा प्रभु जी, दे में एनी टाइम लाइक सम में एनीवेज फील दैट, बिकॉज़ लाइक नाउ इन डोनर कल्टीवेशन और इन सम वेलविशर कल्टीवेशन वी हैव सम काइंड ऑफ सेट गोल्स और सेट एम्स वेयर वी विल विल कल्टीवेट एंड आस्क फॉर समथिंग. So the person who wants to feel that, he will anyways feel, even though we may be courteous, but he may feel that approach as diplomatic only.
Correct. But actually, even as donor cultivators, even though that may be the upadhi that may be given to us, but we should feel that my aim is that this person comes one step closer to Krishna. So whatever is necessary, I will do. So that is our aim. Because when the person experiences that that approach, then there is a good chance that he will become a devotee. So, and then if he becomes a devotee, definitely he will donate. So therefore, we don't necessarily have to wear the cap of a businessman to actually approach this service. It is not necessary. And it doesn't befit us also. It doesn't befit a sadhu also to approach that. Then we will not be able to purely give. We should leave them with a sense of obligation. And they will feel obligated only if they feel that they have received something. If they feel that they have given you something, then they have helped you out, then it leaves a sense of entitlement.
Okay.
So even if you don't get immediately, but if you leave them with a sense of obligation, a gratitude, in the long run it will help. But if you, even though immediately you may get something, if you leave them with a sense of entitlement, then in the long run it is not good actually. So I mean, of course, so for this we must have a a long-sighted vision. You know, we cannot have a very short-sighted vision. Aaj ka kitna kamai, aisa hum soch nahi sakte. No, we have to have a little long-term vision. So that's what I feel.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.
So okay, so we will continue. Next verse. Vrinimahe tvayopadhyā Vrinimahe tvopadhyāyam brahmiṣṭam brahmanam gurum yatāñjasā vijeshyāmaha sapatnām stavatejasā. Tvām vrinimahe, we select you. Brahmiṣṭam brahmanam, a brahmana fixed in Brahman. Upadhyāyam, and a teacher as our guru. But why we have accepted you as our guru? Yata anjasa vijeshyamaha, so that we will be able to easily defeat sapatnan, our enemies, tava tejasa, by your power. So they are very clear. So as we were discussing based on Akhilatma Pran Prabhu's question, that here Brihaspati was not a spiritual master. Brihaspati was just a Upadhyaya. Upadhyaya means priest. He was their head priest. Head priest means one who would help them execute their demigod duties. Similarly, they are approaching Vishwarupa also not to accept him as a spiritual master, but to help accept him as a head priest who would help them continue performing their demigod duties and the immediate duty of actually defeating the demons actually. So therefore they come to the point and they say, we want to accept you as our teacher, Upadhyaya, as our guru, so that we will be able to easily defeat our enemies by your power, like that. And of course here they are not talking about, we want to defeat our enemies of lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride. Not that, those kind of enemies. They are talking about, you know, physical enemies, the demons who had defeated them. So that was the purpose for which they had approached. And they make it very clear. So Shri Vishnu Jagadakur says, we choose you as guru. They state the reason. Is there a purport?
Yes, please. One must approach a particular type of guru to execute a particular type of duty. Therefore, although Vishwarupa was inferior to the demigods, the demigods accepted him as their guru to conquer the demons. Hmm.
Yeah. Any comments before we move on?
One second. Like in the previous verse, they are calling him Tata and now they are calling him Guru. Like, although we know that he is a priest only, but like again, like their words sound to be diplomatic.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there is diploma there and Vishwarup can read through it also. But it is sort of accepted at that level. Because there is some mutual benefit involved. So, I mean, definitely when two businessmen meet, both of them know that there is diplomacy. You know, no one is expecting or thinking that the other person will show some So, ultimately, you know, that is what is expected. So, but when devotees, then there should be affectionate exchanges. So it's not that there is no role for diplomacy anywhere in the world. But it should be there. Just like you cannot show compassion while you're doing business. You cannot be compassionate to the other. How will he make his profit? So there, some of diplomacy is expected. Otherwise, you cannot run the business in one sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we were having one discussion. We were discussing Manasiksha in an online course. And one devotee asked me, bro, I'm a businessman. So we were Sada Dambam Hitva. So he was asking, you know, I do a business. In business language, when I say this is worth 50 rupees, if it is worth 50 rupees and if I say 50, then immediately the other person asks for 25. You know, because they understand that in business language, that if I say 50, then it is worth 25. So then he will ask for 25. Then we will bargain and settle for 30, like that. So, if I should not be diplomatic, if I say 50, if it's worth 50, then I have to say 100. Only then, you know, he will ask for 50. So, what should I do? If I say 50 and if it is 50, then I cannot run my business because that is the language that goes on in the business circle. What should I do? I said, yeah, I mean, you have to speak their language. You cannot speak Manasiksha's language. In business, but the principle we have to understand. So if it is worth 50, you make a decent profit, and instead of saying 100, you say 200. You know, that is over greed. But if you are happy with this reasonable profit, and if you get that profit, you have to tell 100, then you tell 100. So like that. So therefore, there is in certain places we have to, in a diplomatic way, but we have to see, you know, but we cannot carry over that diplomacy in our dealings with devotees also. So then it actually breaks the heart. Then it actually erodes the trust that the other devotees may have on us.
So here Vishwarup is getting what benefit?
We are going to see that.
Okay.
So the next verse, it is Nagarhayanti hi arteshu yavishtangri abhivandanam chandobhyonyatrana brahman vayo jaishtasya karanam. O Brahmana, Nagarhayanti, the wise actually do not criticize yavishtangri abhivadanam. Abhivada is to pay obeisances. Yavishta is younger. Angri is lotus feet. So actually the wise people, even though under common situations, a younger person should offer obeisances to the elders. But the wise actually do not criticize paying respects to a junior in age. Arteshu, for fulfilling one's own purposes. If I want something from you, and you are junior to me in age, but if I so much badly want what you have, in order to please you, I can even offer obeisances. That is allowed. Vayaha jaishtasya karanam. Actually, seniority in age, the cause of seniority is age. Chandobhyo annyatra, except in the case of Vedic knowledge. So, when someone is more learned in Vedic knowledge, even though he may be younger in age, he is fit to be offered obeisances. So, there, because Vishwarup may say, "Aray, if you accept me as your guru, then you will have to offer me obeisances, but you all are elder to me. How can you offer obeisances?" He says, "This is fine because you are more learned than us in the Vedas," like that. So, here Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, "You want to make me your guru, but how will you worship me who am younger, being a son of your brother? So, how is it possible? I am younger to you. I am like your son." So they say the wise do not criticize worshipping the feet of a younger person. The cause of being senior or junior is greater age. And younger age for activities other than... greater age and younger age for activities other than Vedic knowledge. When someone is more learned, then you don't say that, "Oh, but he is younger or elder." That consideration does not come here like that. But in activities relating to the Vedas, that is not so. The cause of seniority is knowledge of the Vedas. Therefore, because you have greater knowledge of the Vedas, you should be our priest and be the guru who gives mantra to us. Like that they are approaching. Vishwaru, is there a purport?
Yes, please. It is said, Vriddhatvam Vayasa Vina. One may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Vishwarup was junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest. Therefore, he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit advises, Nichadapi Uttamam Jnanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The Brahmanas, the members of the most elevated Varna, are teachers. But a person in lower family, such as a family of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or even Shudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed this opinion before Ramananda Rai. Kiba vipra kiba nasi shudra ke nenai yehi Krishna tattva vetta sehi guru hai. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, shudra, grahastha or sannyasi. These are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master.
Yeah. Any quick comments before we move on? Okay. Okay, so now Vishwarup is going to answer. Shri Rishi Ruvacha Abhyartita Suraganehi. Sorry, this is Shukadeva Goswami. Abhyartita Suraganehi Paurahitye Mahatapaha Savishwarupastanaha Prasannas Lakshnaya Gira. Suraganehi Abhyartita. When the devatas thus requested Vishwarup, Paurahitye to become their Purohit, or the priest, Vishwarupaha, Mahatapaha, who was advanced in austerities, Saha Prasannaha, he was pleased with them, Tan Ahas Lakshnayagira, and he spoke to them with sweet words. Is there a purport?
No.
Okay. So, Vishwarupa is going to answer now. Sri Vishwarupa Uvacha, Vigarhitam dharma shilair brahma varcha upavyayam katam numadvido nata lokeshair abhiyachitam pratyakhyasyati tachishyah saeva swartha uchyate. So Vishwarup said, O Nata, O Masters, dharma shilaihi, those cultivating dharma, uchyate vigarhitam, actually they will say, Brahma Varcha Upavyayam. Vigarhitam means rejectable. See, amongst all the Brahmanas, to become a priest of someone is said to be very, because you do what they want and you take remuneration from them. That is what a priest does. Therefore, even amongst Brahmanas, a Purohit's job is said to be very low class, actually. And it is mentioned that Brahma Varchasa Upavyayam. Brahma Varcha Upavyayam. So he will lose his Brahma Tejas by becoming a priest and doing something for getting some remuneration. So this is on one hand the problem with becoming a priest, which is not very good for a Brahma. But on the other hand, Katam Nu Madvidaha. How can a person like me, tat shishya, who is fit to be your disciple, pratyakya syati, refuse, lokeshair abhiyachitam, loka ishaha. You are not ordinary people, you are not ordinary kings, but you are actually rulers of the planets. So on one hand, what you are asking me to do is not something which is appreciated. I will lose my Brahma Tejas because of this. But on the other hand, if I refuse the orders of exalted people like you, even then I stand to lose. Therefore, sa eva swartha, it is in my interest as a disciple to actually accept your this thing. So, but you have to understand that I am in a very I am in a dharma sankat. So, it is not a very clear choice. That's what he is indicating here. So, here Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, the sages who cultivate dharma criticize being a priest because one loses a great amount of Brahma Tejas. So, I stand to lose. But I must do this because I have been requested by you, the rulers of the planets. I am your disciple. A disciple cannot refuse. So therefore, it is in my interest of the disciple to accept. like that? Is there a purport?
Yeah. The professions of a qualified Brahmana are Pathan, Pathan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana and Pratigraha. The words Yajan and Yajan mean that a Brahmana becomes a priest of the populace for the sake of their elevation. One who accepts the post of spiritual master neutralizes the sinful reactions of a Yajaman, the one on whose behalf he performs Yajna. Thus, the results of the pious acts previously performed by the priest or spiritual master are diminished. Therefore, priesthood is not accepted by learned Brahmanas. Nevertheless, the greatly learned Brahmana Vishwarup became the priest of the demigods because of his profound respect for them.
Yeah. Any comments? Okay, we'll move on. Akinchananam hidanam shilonchanam teneha nirvartita sadhu satkriyah katam vigarhyam nukaromi adishwarah pauro hidanam. Actually, for a detached Brahmana, his wealth is chanam. Shila unchanam. Shila means collecting grains from a field in which the grains have been harvested. So of course, they can't collect every single grain because, you know, manpower is very valuable. You know, it would become penny-wise, pound-foolish. So the spilled-over grain, they will not take because it is too much manpower to just take that up. It may be some 5-10% like that. So, a Brahmana can go to a field in which the grains have been harvested, and those spilled over grains he can collect them, cook and eat. So that is allowed. That is a proper means of earning his livelihood for a Brahmana. Or Unchanam. Unchanam means you go to the market, and while during transaction of grains, some grains may spill over. You may collect some grains that are left over in the market or spilled over there. That is also an agreeable means of livelihood for a proper detached Brahmana. Tena iha nirvartita sadhu satkriya. By this, the detached maintain themselves honestly. Adishwaraha. But O rulers, katamnu karomi vigarhyam paurodasam. But how can I take up the condemned profession of a priest? Krishyati yena dhurmati, which gives joy only to the foolish. No properly detached Brahmana would be happy to accept this profession that you are offering. Like that here, he's telling. So, he says, one can accomplish dharma by accepting wealth from being a priest. How can one practice if one has no money? So the devatas may say, look, everyone needs money, right? So why can't you be a priest? Why can't you be a priest and earn that money? Ultimately, everyone needs some wealth for subsistence. So why are you criticizing this post of a Purohit? So he says, look, the wealth of a detached Brahmana is collecting grains from the harvested field or grains left in the market. Shilonchanam. Shila refers to corn left by the owner of a field. Corn or any other grain for that matter. Unchanam means taking grains which have fallen down in the marketplace. A foolish person becomes joyful by becoming a priest, but not an intelligent person. Or a sinful person becomes joyful because it is suitable to his mentality. Like that. Okay, is there a purport?
Yes, sir. A first-class Brahmana does not accept any rewards from his disciples or yajmans. Practicing austerities and penances, he instead goes to the agricultural field and collects food grains left by the agriculturists to be collected by Brahmanas. Similarly, such Brahmanas go to marketplaces where grains are purchased and sold wholesale, and there they collect grains left by the merchants. In this way, such exalted Brahmanas maintain their bodies and families. Such priests never demand anything from their disciples to live in opulence, imitating Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. In other words, a pure Brahmana voluntarily accepts a life of poverty and lives in complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. Not very many years ago, a Brahmana in Krishnanagar near Navadvip was offered some help from the local zamindar, Raja Krishna Chandra. The Brahmana refused to accept the help. He said that since he was very happy in his householder life, taking rice given by his disciples and cooking vegetables of tamarind leaves, there was no question of taking help from the zamindar. The conclusion is that although a Brahmana may receive such opulence from his disciples, he should not utilize the rewards of his priesthood for his personal benefit. He must use them for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah. Any quick comments? Okay. We'll move ahead.
Prabhuji,
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Prabhuji, I have one thing in the 35th verse. We read in the purport that the purport proper is saying that any person, any priest basically, becomes one who accepts the post of spiritual master neutralizes sinful reactions because he wants to elevate them, elevate the populace like that. The sinful reactions and his pious credits are diminished. So in I have personally heard, like in our devotional line, we also understand spiritual master accepting the sinful reactions of disciples and accepting the karma basically. So sometimes it is also said that when we, not as a spiritual master, but when we accept some responsibility over others, or when we expect somebody to follow our words, then also we become implicated and we have to accept the reactions. So how is it? I mean, I just wanted some more clarification on how does it really happen, or whether this happens, or is it only when we feel I am the one who is guiding or instructing, or I am responsible, then it happens. But if one gives that, he does it, he gives the credit and the glorification which comes if he passes on to spiritual master, then he's not implicated. I wanted some clarity on that.
Yeah. Actually, see, sometimes the ideal disciple who is taking the role of taking care of other devotees, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. I got some message. So ideally, let's say like a counselor or something. Ideally, he should feel like, let me lessen the burden of my spiritual master, so that even if some reaction may come upon me for those whom I am guiding, I'm telling this is very ideal case, huh? So I'm not telling that, you know, if you don't feel like that, then you should not take care of others. But ideally, one should not be afraid. Array, let my spiritual master only handle the karma. You know, I don't want to take it like that. One should not feel. But the thing is, definitely, one should take some level of responsibility for whomever we have been asked to take care of. We should take that responsibility, and we should be completely dependent, and we should have trust in Krishna's protection. So Krishna is protecting. So therefore, even if I may take responsibility of someone and I may ask him to do certain things, so if the reaction comes, but still Krishna's protection is there because I am doing it with the right intent. So that is one part of I don't know. I mean, is that relevant? I don't know. Is that relevant to your question?
Yes. This is what I wanted.
So, but at the same time, if you are doing it in the right, see, in bhakti, one thing is there is no business. Krishna does not deal with devotees in a business mood. So, if a very degraded devotee comes and we are trying to help him with whatever sincerity that we can muster, so that he can take up to practice of devotional service. I mean, why would the Supreme Lord punish a devotee by downloading all his karma on this person's head who is trying to help? So it's not exactly like that. So what we have to meditate upon is, I will do my duty towards Krishna and Guru sincerely, and Krishna's protection is guaranteed. That's all. So with that understanding, we try to do our duty, you know. And of course, as you mentioned very correctly, pass on the credit where it belongs to, and take responsibility for whatever mistakes are committed. That's all. You know, that when that is there, Krishna's protection is definitely guaranteed. Anything? Yeah, is that okay, bro?
Yes. I got this one thing that if the consciousness is proper, then one could, because I have heard this in some practical situations that one should only take that kind of risk what he can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to taking responsibility in the sense of guiding others.
Correct.
So especially quantity and quality also. Like how much can you give up and how much what kind of people also we can handle. So it depends on the consciousness. That's what.
Correct.
How much
correct.
We have pushed ourselves. That much we can.
Yeah. Correct. So that we have to be careful. If we don't, you know, we should not think that, oh, he is so degraded, he has no hope. That we cannot think. But we can say that, oh, he is carrying such a heavy baggage that I am not spiritually advanced enough to help him out right now. So I can pray for him and I can guide him to someone else. But for me, I am in my spiritually weak position, I may not be able to guide. But we should never think that, oh, ye to hopeless case hai. I mean, with such kind of conditionings, you know, he cannot, what is his hope? You know, we cannot think like that. But we can always say that, you know, for me to handle this case, you know, I am not spiritually ready. Like that, we can definitely, you know, guide him to another person who may be capable of taking care of him, like that.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So, what is the time?
Twelve twenty.
Okay. So, we'll end here and we'll continue this discussion. Tomorrow is Friday, right? Today is Thursday, right?
Yeah.
So, because one Ekadashi came, so shall we try tomorrow just in case if I have the signal? Can we do it tomorrow?
Puji, I am in train, Puji. Means I can hear the recording later, but I'll be in train tomorrow.
Okay,
morning.
So let's do one thing. Ask other devotees.
Yeah.
If they okay, we can have tomorrow, if at least 50% can attend. If most people have other plans, because anyway Friday we don't have the discussion, so then we will directly meet on Monday. So, Hari Bhakti Prabhu, if you can just ask others and let me know.
Yes, Prabhuji.
For how many devotees attending tomorrow would be possible? If at least 4 or 5 devotees are there, we will do. Others can hear the recordings. But if even that many won't be there, then we will have it on Monday only.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Prabhuji, just one thing. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about different kinds of maryada. Here the question of respect came in, like some verses before. So, do you know, Prabhuji, where he talks about 8 kinds of maryada?
Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Yeah.
Okay, so there it is mentioned in detail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you very much. So, just in case you decide that tomorrow there won't be a discussion. So, and some of you I heard are going home to celebrate Diwali. So have a nice time. Spend time with your family. And we will meet again on Monday in case if we don't meet tomorrow. So happy Diwali to all of you. Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishnachakadi Thakur ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyeva cha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah.
Hari bol priya gobeshu re kote gele puti jay dru
ha hari bol
kay manda
ami zalo ya thank you so much.
अरे प्रभुजी थांबा तुमचं असते वाट पाहत होती. हरि बोल काय म्हणता स्वामी.
काही नाही स्वामी काय
रेकॉर्डिंग म्हणतात.